from Al on Raid to Zion. Up the Zion, that is. This is Are You Mountain Goats to Me?
Goats don't make a sound. Oh, yes, they do. Wait,
kinda
what is
like
it?
A
bah. Instead of a woo, we're going. Ah. Hey guys, it's I Was Scared Too, a horror movie podcast. I'm Fesh.
That's right, and I'm JZT.
Been a while.
It's been a while.
Hey, contextually relevant.
It is relevant, yeah. Well, I think the question on all the listeners' minds is, Fesh, when are you going to get on Mission Space?
Oh, I thought the question was, are you mounting goats to me?
Oh, no. Second question, are you mounting goats to me? But first question, any plans to get on Mission Space?
It's always in the back of my mind when I'm like, oh, there's a ride here I haven't done, but it has just universally been described as unpleasant. But hey, you know, I got a couple of homies in the area next week going to Epcot, so maybe I'll fit it in there.
How wonderful.
That's a ride. You've done it, and
I had
you love it, or?
No. For context, it was the last ride I did at my Epcot day, right under the wire, you know, parks closing. I was able to get right on because nobody else wanted to do Mission Space. As a result, I did it alone. I assume they sent me on the easy path, the green path, because I was alone in a chamber built for four, and everyone has a job, but like no one was there to do the other jobs, so it just automatically did it for us. And it was long and boring.
Okay, and so the maybe teenager won't do it.
And there was one boy, young cast member, and two girl young cast members. And I could hear them flirting and partying in the hallways while I got on the ride. And
pretty cool.
So I hope they have all since had a sexual three-way.
Okay. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Folks, if you have any info on those three young cast members, hit up the hotline. You know which one.
Yeah, you know, we all know the number by heart, backwards
and
forward.
That's right. That's right. It'd be redundant
to share
it.
We bought it so that you could type it either way, backwards or forward, and it would go to the same place.
And at this point, we don't give it out on air just because we're so backlogged with the
There's too many calls, quite frankly. Honestly, don't call the hotline. Email us if you have information on those three cast members.
Exactly. Yes. This is a service we did. So great. That answers that first question. Now the real question, Fesh.
Yeah.
Are you mountain goats to me?
Yeah, I'm mountain goats to you. Well, there. Hey, I know we have an episode to do, but we solved the mystery right up top.
That's right. This ain't one of those 8-part investigation
NPR,
podcasts.
NPR, yeah.
Serial Productions.
Yeah.
We are not here to ask a question about racism within a British school system not really resolve it. It's a podcast. What is it called?
Well, you know when racism is the cornerstone of your series, you're going to get an answer at the end. It's going to be solved at the end.
Yes. Was there racism afoot? Was there
That's why there's not that many of those pieces of media, is because it gets solved pretty easily.
Yes.
Anytime was there tackle it.
Was there an anti-Muslim sentiment in the British school system in the last 20 years? Answer, yeah. Yeah, there was.
So what are we doing? We're going to, as we always do on Are You Mountain Goats to Me, we're from, what was it? What to Zion?
Al on Raid to Zion.
Al on Raid to Zion.
To Zion, that is.
Design that is. What is it? It's a comprehensive compendium. You know, I used to have the thing memorized. It's just been so long since we recorded an episode like this.
Folks, we don't know how podcasting works anymore.
We're rusty.
We're starting a half hour later. Everyone was present on the dot 5 minutes prior even.
Yeah.
Difficulties. I fire up my technical machines, and would you know, I haven't used this laptop since the last time we recorded, basically. So that was a bit of a delay. And then Mr. Kid Cinema himself had some technical delays.
It's just unreal. Let's just put it this way. Our bones might not rust, but our podcasting skills certainly do.
Certainly.
Holy, well, hey. What's it been since fucking March? Jesus fucking
Probably.
Christ.
Wow. Jeez Louise.
Fuck.
Fuck. What's new, Fesh?
Who cares?
Yes. Yeah.
Life has been really hard ever since. That's why the podcast stopped. And then we're getting through it.
Pretty much mutually for both of us. But yes, yeah.
I'm hopefully on the other side of it now. Knock on wood. But yeah, there's been a new mountain goat. I feel like there's been two new mountain goats albums since the last time we've recorded.
Yes. Like, Dark in here. Well, yeah. Oh yes, go on. Sorry.
For me, that's how it's kind of a one for him, one for me model with the mountain goats. I just think it is. It's just like he releases every year, and it's just like it takes me a while to really live in an album for him specifically. And so it's one I just miss pretty much. Every other one I just am or it takes me a while to eventually catch up on. Like Transcendental Youth is now canonical for me, but when it came out, I fully missed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I will say once we get to a certain segment, there is some Dark in Here representation later.
Ah.
But it's the only one from that album I could tell you anything about. all that to say, we're covering Bleed Out today. This one I'm present for. I'm ready and enjoy. Like, I've already listened to it multiple times. I already know it as an album. And I'll say it. I like it.
I like the album. Too. It's a fun album. Hot take.
Yeah.
It's a fun. So, yes, I was going to say to you, Dark in Here, I just fully skipped.
Yeah.
I was aware that it was coming out. I said, it's a little hot off the heels of Getting Into Knives.
Yeah.
I was real into Getting Into Knives.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a weird time in my life. I was still living with my mom, just about to leave the house, but had not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of at my wit's end a little bit, sort of where is my life going mentally? So just wasn't there, wasn't feeling it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fun, too, because at this point, their Mountain Goats album come out so consistently, but they do sort of weirdly... I can align them to where my life was in a lot of ways, you know.
And that's why, again, when we get to a certain segment, there is full albums missing because it's just like, I don't like that part of my life. The songs are all good. It's a great album. I don't like listening to it because it reminds me of where I was in my life.
And hey, man, that's fair.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see. Now, all right. Yeah. Boy.
Hey, here's a question. Do you think John Darnielle likes the 1970s?
Now let's see, he's about 55 years old, so he probably lived through the 70s mm-hmm. as a young man and had a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess yes,
at least aesthetically. At the very least, brother likes the aesthetics of the 70s.
Oh yeah. Would he probably be hip and cool and weigh in and go, you know, a lot of the political unrest we witnessed today was actually planted in the 70s. Yeah, probably. And he's a well-read man. I'm sure he's read some books and can argue this way or that. And so he's like, that I don't like, you know. But
of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yes. Here's another question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think John Darnielle has seen the Hunger Games movies?
No, I don't. I don't think he. I know for, at least as of like 4 years ago, he had only seen a Star Wars.
Oh.
Because he said as much on the podcast. I only listened to the Mountain Goats. But that was years ago. Maybe in lockdown, he dug in. He caught up.
You know, he has. I believe he has two boys.
Yeah.
Young boy. I think one of them is like 10.
Uh huh.
I read an interview and I kind of did the math. I was like, oh, so he's got like a 10 or 12 year old. That's ample time for young boys to get into Star Wars, you know?
That's
so
true. I just love the notion of it being a COVID watch for him. He's like, you know, I got to catch up on these things. Oh, and there's new series. Oh, he's really into the Book of Boba Fett, you know? And as a guy who likes to dig in terms of concept albums, I mean, as not a huge Star Wars guy myself, but a Big Mountain Goats guy, I would love a triple album devoted to each trilogy, right? Like,
oh yeah,
just inspired by.
Yes,
could be good.
So yeah, today we're here, folks, to talk about Bleed Out, the new Mountain Goats album, which came out 2 weeks ago.
I don't fucking know. 2 days ago? 3 days ago? I don't know. Fuck.
This is... here's another question I wanted to ask you, Fesh.
Let's hear it.
What is time?
Now, everyone says that it is man-made, and I understand what they mean by that, but as a measurement, yes, time is man-made in the same way that distance is man-made. But what we're measuring with distance is natural, right? We didn't invent me being further from you. That's naturally that happened. And time passing, what we call time, is real, even or theoretically real. It's perceived to be something dimensionally. It's just the unit of measurements that we invented. But basically, it is a measuring of events, the distance between the occurrence of events, if I had to be succinct with it.
There you have it. Thank you, Fesh.
There's also a spice. It's spelled different.
Yeah.
Called time.
THYME.
And I don't know that deal. Is it good? Do you like time?
I feel like it's one of those kind of tame spices. You know, it's
time is tame.
Time is tame. Yeah.
It's spelled THAYME.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry. Did you want tame or time? Like, what's the difference? Like, well, you know, buddy, what's your spice level?
Oh man. You got me to explain time and tame to you? Ugh, I ain't got tame for that.
I ain't got too much tame on my hands. I got too much tame on my hands.
Yeah. But I don't know. Fuck it. Well, how did you get into the Mountain Goats? I'm sure we've covered this somewhere in this podcast at one point, but whatever.
Hey, that's a great question. You know, so I guess I must have been... It was around the time of the Sunset Tree, and I believe I read a review on a music website called Pop Matters, and I was like, ooh, I gotta check that out.
It's probably a good double entendre there, right? It's saying, like, pop's important, but exactly, also these are matters of pop music.
Yes. What we are speaking of the matters of pop music, you know, and yeah. So that was a good little blog I used to read or website, and then I swear to God, I bought it at Borders. My mom drove me. We went to Borders, you know, the bookstore music CD place. I got a copy of it. We then went to the post office. Me and my mom got in a fight. I said something like, fuck you, mom.
Parental fights circulating the Sunset Tree? Never.
And then she walked in to do her mail business. I popped it in, and I was like hooked in. It was like, hey, this is thematically relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
the first
right
lyrics
now.
Might as well be, is like, I got into a fight with my mom at the post office.
Yeah. Called her a bitch, and then she went to ship some socks.
That's the thing about Mountain Goats. He doesn't swear all that often. There's some of the early lo-fi tapes. There's some fucks in there. There's a damn once in a blue moon. But that's about it. He keeps it pretty clean.
He's a clean man, yeah. I wonder if that has anything to do with his Christianity.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I think the fellow in his life swears. But going off a podcast. But yeah, I think it's just one of those artistic statements some people make just as a challenge to oneself to be like, it's too easy to say, to put import and emotion onto these words. Let me try to get that same element out of without using the crutch, essentially.
Yes.
And listen, so Jaren Donnell doesn't need to swear albums. Well, fuck you, I do. Was it fuck him and fuck you
fuck
too?
Fuck you, fuck you too. Yeah. You think we give a gamma about a potty? Half of you podcast listeners can't even stomach us, let alone stand. I would
love an Eminem John Darnell feud.
Now, The Game, the rapper The Game, recently released a 10-minute diss track on Eminem. I don't know if you heard about this, Fesh.
No, but he also made a girl drink some stuff out of garbage so he could buy her Balencia clothes. I saw it on TikTok.
He
was at a mall, and this girl's like, "You're the game, right?" Like, yeah. It's TikTok, so it just jumps ahead to get you only the no context, only the things. And basically just like, yeah, I'll buy you Balencia, but you have to dig through the garbage, and the first thing you find, you have to eat it.
Ugh.
This is acceptable, right? This is normal. And she pulls down her mask to then drink somebody's Starbucks. And it's like, yeah, that's...
Oh, the game. So, for shame, the game.
The game. I don't know anything else about him. And this happened 12 hours ago. I saw this. So,
Yes. The Game made an album in 2006. And I remember being aware of it then. And then a month ago, The Game put out a new album and did a diss track. And that's the first and last time I heard about The Game.
Well, shout outs to The Game. Mountain Goats for me is the first Pandora discovery.
Oh.
For me. I was into the magnetic fields, and I believe I made a station based off of them, and it led me to, a lot of people's entry point this year, the song This Year, and, good song. And I said, hey, I want to listen more to these guys. And Casey Donahue, I want to say, past guest, had a tweet that I relate to very strongly. He's like, I just love that I will never be able to hear every Mountain Goats song.
Oh, yeah.
There simply is too many. It's like Mountain Dew flavors. There's no one has been able to collect them all.
No, no. Or episodes of One Piece. Like, no one, I'll never see them all.
And even him, like John himself, Mr. Mountain Goats, has said, like, people will request songs at a concert, and I just simply won't know what they're talking about. Like, I don't remember how they go.
And it's fun, too, because I know he sort of worked it into the live show now where there's like kind of like a little solo break in the middle where like the rest of the band leaves. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing this current tour, but in the last couple times I saw him in the last couple years, it's like, yeah, everyone else leaves. He just him and the guitar, and he'll take requests. And then like sometimes it's like there's a pause like, OK, let me think about it. And he's like trying to do the chords, and then, yeah, no. Other times?
Yeah.
All right. This meeting will end in 10 minutes.
What he was talking about was that song Golden Boy about the peanuts, which I love very, very much. But I want to understand. It's like, it's a silly little novelty song about how much he loves the type of peanuts. And yeah, you just, I don't know. It's not been in the rotation. It's been 27 years. Like, yeah. But then also, I'm a big fan of Adam and His Package, the post-punk experimental, you know, project of Adam Gorin out of Philadelphia. And around the same time when I was digging real deep into him, but have the Pandora station set up, it's one of those things where you discover, it's like, oh yeah, I knew that Adam and His Package covered some Madonna songs and this. Oh, but three of my favorite Adam and His Package songs are covers of Mountain Goat songs that I don't realize until, you know, digging deep into the Mountain Goats and just, wait a second, why do I know the lyrics to this? Oh, so yeah, Adam and His Package covered Going to Georgia, Alpha Desperation March, and The Seed Song.
And
great songs. And I love both versions very much. But yeah, it was two convergences at the same time. Within like the same 2 months, I you know how that, like I just said, with The Game. It's like, I haven't heard of The Game until last night. I heard of him, but I didn't know anything about him until last night. And now here he comes today. It's the same thing. When you learn a new word, you'll find within the next 48 hours you hear it like six times, but you never heard it before. At least you didn't perceive that you heard it before.
Yes.
Now, life is like that.
Life is like that. Speaking of rappers, have you heard of FN Mecca?
No.
He is an AI rapper that has been dropped by Capitol Records due to racism, shadiness, bad business ethics, all of the above. Controversy. It was an AI rapper that a tech bro came up with.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I like this. I like all of that. That's good, and I'm happy to have heard it.
Yes.
I'm happy it all happened. Every part of it is good, and everything's great.
there was people saying, hey, this is messed up. The apparently the AI rapper said the N-word a lot.
Sure.
And people said, that makes us uncomfortable. And then the white guy who founded the project said, there are so many diverse people on the team. There's nothing racist going on here. And that's good enough for me. No. I'm kidding. Yeah.
So by AI rapper,
this is what happened. Apparently, it's like, again, it's the thing is like, why do you think anyone wants or needs this? Like a computer that writes its own raps. Like they recorded a black man's voice and had him rap a little bit, just enough to get, you know, all the sounds they'd need to make its own sounds. They then went on to stop paying this guy.
Sure.
And so he's upset about that. Yeah. Understandably. And then, yeah, again, there's just this AI programmer, or I think somehow there was actually an argument. It's not AI, it's augmented reality, because it's partially
a guy's
voice, and then they're like remix.
You remember?
It's all fun.
The trend, you still see it every now and again on Twitter, but where it used to be every fifth tweet was, I'm going to tell my kids this was J.K. Simmons or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And your and I's take kind of has been like, you're allowed to tweet that, but you should end it with, for some fucking reason. You have to end the tweet with, for some fucking reason. Because that's the thing with so many tweets, that it is just like, I guess the punchline justified the setup, but that setup makes no sense. Like, no one is actually saying that shit that you're turning on its head to prove your point. But that's my question with all of this. I uploaded every episode of Monday Night Raw, and now here's an AI's writing of Monday Night Raw for some fucking reason. Like, what's your point? That computers aren't totally there yet? Okay, good.
Now, Fesh, this reminds me of a thought I had the other day, and I'd love to get your take on. Sometimes I think Twitter could use an off season.
We've said it before. A tweet should cost $1. That's it. Mm-hmm. That would, I think, solve everything. Like,
it's holy moly. I'm more and more off. I'm moving away from the internet. We're both. Are you still Instagram free, Fesh?
I checked back in for WDW News and Universal News, and that's about
it. Oh, sure, yeah.
And my wife will DM me every now and again, sending me something, and I'll check that out. But watching the stream, watching stories, nope, sorry.
Yeah, I'll check in about every week or so, maybe, to see if I missed any messages. I got a couple. I got a friend in Hong Kong.
You got a couple of shorties on the side, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. My side pieces, they know not to text on the main line.
Well, because your number is their hotline number, and it's just backlogged.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, listen, toots, if you want to keep this going, don't bling my hotline. Text DM me.
Whoa. Nice Drake reference, Jay-Z.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I'm aware of. I know Drake.
Yeah, man.
Now, yeah, Drake. Give me a Drake. Give me a Drake.
Drake me off a piece of that rapper guy. shall we, bleed out?
Let's bleed out, yes.
All right.
So shall we go in song by song and discuss them?
I think so. Why not?
Yes.
So we kick things off with training montage.
A real banger of a song.
Absolutely.
You know?
Now, initially when I saw that, I did roll my eyes a little bit just at the title, because I do feel like ever since South Park's reaming of training montages in the early aughts, it has been one of those jokes that everybody feels ownership over, to the point that in the trailer for that god-awful Michael Cera Kung Fu Dog Nickelodeon movie.
Oh, Paws of Fury?
Yeah. It's just one of those things, like, it has trickled down that the worst of the worst kids show will lampoon.
Yes.
And it's just like, we all get it. I get the joke. We've all done it now. It's done. We can move on. Now, this, again, I got to learn to trust Mountain Goats over here. That's not what he's doing. It's called that, and that's what it is, but it's all to fit a bigger thing, and like anything else he does, it's a jumping off point. But yeah, So I really like this song. Hell of an opener.
It's a hell of an opener, too. You know, it starts off a little acoustic, and then pretty quickly we're ramped up, and it really sets a good tone and course for the album. You
Absolutely.
Know? Which is fun. It's cool, too. So I think one fun thing, in general, I think the Mountain Goats as a band is in a good place and has been in a good place for a while. It's like four guys right now. John Worster on the drums. Peter Hughes on the bass guitar. And then a third guy with a big bushy beard.
He's like a gray-haired gentleman, right?
Yeah. Yes, gray-haired gentleman. He plays the saxophone.
He's kind of like a thick,
the guitar.
Thick daddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a seat on him for sure. This thick daddy seat.
So I will say overall with this album, and this is not a criticism. I come from a generation and a subculture where usually you might call this a criticism, you know, the third wave ska kids. But this is the most like radio ready Mountain Goats album, I think, ever.
I feel that. Yeah. I was thinking to myself I was on a hike listening to this album earlier, and there was, and I was like, yeah, this almost sounds like they're all 50. This almost sounds like an album. Yeah. Like 25-year-olds or 22-year-olds be like, all right, we got an album. We're going to South by Southwest. Yeah. I hope this blows up.
It's not this, but it's on the track to it of just what I used to call AMC music. Like the sub Mumford and Sons, just kind of, it's not there yet, but it is. It's if you took the Mountain Goats energy and faced it in that direction, this track isn't necessarily there yet, but it is. It just, I don't know, it kind of feels a little like 1997-ish to me, where it's like, radio is still alternative music. It's still guys trying not just to put out general bullshit, but I don't know. It's closer to Third Eyed Blind than he's ever been before, I guess is all I'm saying.
Very true. And those are our thoughts on Training Montage.
What's the next track? Mark on You?
Mark on You, yes. Which
good song.
Rocks, yes.
this definitely feels like I could see it popping up on the old radio, as I was saying.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to
leave a mark on you. Yeah, good song.
Good
song.
So
the theme of this album, which I'm a big fan of, is violence.
Yes.
But presented in, again, like a light alternative soft rocky, for the most part. There's some more harder songs on here, but
yes. Acoustic-y, yeah, nothing too jammy. Hard, you know. Don't worry, Mom and Dad. There's not Satan music or, you know, heavy metal.
But that's the thing. That's what I love about Mountain Goats at Large, is like, it is kind of Satan music.
Right,
but
yeah.
it doesn't have the aesthetics of Satan music, and it's by a Christian guy.
Yeah,
it's cool
who
stuff.
Loves his metal music. You know, he loves it all. But it's just one of those funny things. You know,
mm-hmm. Oh, it's just so funny.
It's just so funny. He is a Christian guy, and he loves Satan. How funny!
It's
is
almost
that?
As if again aesthetics have nothing to do with the content of something, and that you can like the aesthetics. Anyway. Yeah. I turned 32 recently. I got a chip on my shoulder, okay?
Oh, folks? Yeah. There it is, yeah.
I admit it. I'm mad about being 32. I admit it.
What, do you just, every now and then, late in the night, just go, huh? Maybe I screwed up, and maybe it's too late for me.
Do I look at my body in the mirror and go, yeah, can I upload an old save file, please? Jeez. Yeah.
You're telling me I got to fight like hell to keep this? Ah.
Yeah. Hey, listeners out there, any younger listeners out there, avoid turning 32. Just skip it. Just skip it.
Whatever, hit pause now.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can stay 24 or whatever, do it. But if I say just jump to 35, what a useless couple of ages 31 through 34 seem to be, huh?
I do feel like I'm going to have a pretty good 40s.
Hey, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people say 30s is good, and I get what they mean in some ways, for sure. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of being fat and feeling existential crisis, for me, not so good.
You know, yes.
Yeah.
I won't dwell too on it, but I had the thought recently, like, hey, buddy, you tried your hardest.
Oh, yeah. Again, the podcast stopped for a couple of reasons. Now, this tank top you're wearing, Ray Phoenix?
It's a Ray Phoenix, yes, in the style of a Led Zeppelin shirt. I'm wearing a Ray Phoenix tank top.
Did you get it at his store?
Yes. A fun story for the pod. A couple weeks ago now, I went with friend of the pod, Adam Sawitz, and his wife, and my friend Brandon Scott Wolf. We went and saw a Lucha movie at House of Republic of Lucha, which is a store in South Pasadena that Ray Phoenix and Pentagon own and run. And it's so fun. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. It's next door to a very cool video store called Videotech, where it's like you can rent movies, like it's a rental.
Bitch, this sounds
they
great.
They have in Videotech, I'll give a quick shout out to them. Yeah, incredible collection of stuff, like foreign movies, current movies, Blu-ray DVDs. Wonderful selection. Love them.
And now, how far is that away from where you are in beautiful Burbank?
It's about 14 miles from me. So it's
not terrible.
Not terrible.
But, you know, not walking down the street by any means.
Right, yeah. But, you know, actually, funny story. It's reasonable to take public transit there.
Hey.
And I did that night.
That's great.
Love the red. Yeah, jumped. I'm close to a subway with a big parking lot. I parked my car there. All told, it's like $4 for both parking and a round trip.
Ooh, baby.
And afterwards, both of the set of friends offered to drive me home. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, fine. And then they're like, seriously, we can drive you home. I said, well, I can't argue with that, you know? So nice. I got a free ride home, which is very nice of them. And
sometimes
boy.
You just
got
to keep the hang going, too. It's not even about it being more convenient.
Exactly, yeah.
Hang, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And they were wonderful. It was a fun time. We watched. It's a movie starring two female luchadors from the 60s. I forget their names. The movie's called Doctor of Doom. Mm-hmm. And it's all about this evil doctor who keeps kidnapping people and experimenting on them.
That's cool.
And a beautiful staff. The whole staff at Republic of Lucha is just beautiful people. They're all... I this is a thing where I was like, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, either it's like all older wrestling dorks, sure, but maybe...
Hipsters. It's hipsters.
I was like, there's a chance this is like local Pasadena families, you know, and like particularly like Hispanic being like, oh, this is part of our culture. Let's go see these old Lucha movies. You know, I could see like a grandpa bringing a 6-year-old to it.
Sure.
You know, that's not the case, but you know, so I did demand we get there early and it was unnecessary. There were ample seats, but hey, we had fun.
Starring Lorena Velasquez and Armando Silvestre.
That's right.
And, of course, Roberto Canedo as Professor Ruiz.
And apparently, I don't know much about the history of it. The guy who introduced it was saying there was a time where female luchadors or female wrestlers were, like, outlawed. They weren't allowed to do it in Mexico. So there was a bit transgressive nature to it.
Absolutely.
Or something. Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Now, were the Lucha Bros there?
No, they were not. Okay. We were told on the website that they would either Zoom in or do a pre-recorded message, depending on availability. They did not.
That's okay. They're busy,
which is
guys.
It would have been so funny, because there was like 8 of us there watching, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it was a
this
small
is like affair. Fesh's screenings in Crystal Lake.
Exactly,
years
yeah.
Ago. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
And
well,
so
that's nice.
It's one of those things where, like, if they were to Zoom in, I would probably see them looking sad and disappointed, and I don't want that.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't. So I would rather just then be told it was a great success, Ray Phoenix. Sold out. We had to turn people away. He's like, okay, good. But they also they do
No, go ahead.
They do have a wrestling show coming up soon.
Nice.
Which It's a little pricey, but I think it'll be fun.
I love a wrestling show.
Yeah, it's like, you know, $60 general admission. A little
ooh,
up there.
Whoa, that's okay.
And well, if it couldn't get worse, guess who's wrestling on this one?
Who?
Brian Cage.
Yeah, fuck that show.
I'm going to pass on this one. And Thunder Rosa's injured, so she won't be there. So she was at the last one.
It's not like Brian Cage is whatever, but just it's $60 for any indie show is
yeah.
A little nutso-butso, a little absolutely insane. What the fuck are you talking for general admission?
It's like, I guess for some context, it's in a parking lot. It's a very small parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And that's just to be there. The front row seats are like $100, maybe $200. It's nutso-butso, yeah.
And do you get like six pizzas on top of it and a bunch of free drinks? Because that's stupid.
I wish, yeah. Ray Phoenix and Penta, come on now. But
guys.
You know, they book good guests, and I guess the travel is expensive, so, you know. But, hey. Everyone's getting paid at least, or I would hope so.
You
never know.
Yeah, it's the world of independent wrestling. yeah. All right. So then we move right along to Wage War.
We're not talking Beat the Champ. We're talking Bleed Out.
Exactly.
Folks.
Was it Wage War? What?
Get Rich, Die Handsome.
That's right. This is the most rocking tune on the.
This one's fun and fast.
Yeah. And it was the single. So Apple Music let me listen to it about 2 weeks before the pod came out. And I was like, oh, are they going to be doing a more rocking album this time? No, but it's a rocking track.
More so than some recent, but not too excessively. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's the, if we are talking Beat the Champ, it's the choke out of choked out.
Exactly. Yes. And there's some parallels between those two albums for sure. You know, you can call them sister albums.
Violence. I love fake violence, man. It rules. I love fake violence.
But yeah, that's a great sentiment. Wage wars, get rich, die handsome. I love the die handsome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fun.
Good track. Now, Extraction Point, I'm having a hard time remembering which one that is. That's what's next.
Now, Extraction Point, I love it. It's one of my favorites on the album. Yeah. It's just got a good groove, you know.
Let me throw it on in my background so I can remind myself. Oh, yeah, this rocks.
It rocks. It's kind of one of the longer songs.
Yeah.
I can imagine live they jam out on it a bit.
They introduced it like brass in Transcendental Youth and then like woodwinds in Goths. And I like that elements of those can sneak in whenever they see fit.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, I believe it's a saxophone on this song. It's really nice. Like, beanie, the horns. It's just got a good melodic, but there's a good driving groove to it.
It's a driving groove.
It's a driving groove. Yeah, so this is one of my top two songs on the album, I think.
Good song. Bones Don't Rust, followed up with.
It's a fun one.
It's like, disco's the wrong word. It's not disco, but it is more dancey, I feel like.
Yes, almost in a Gang of Four school, but not quite. But like,
just kind of like British pop rock. Kinda.
Yeah. Like elements of ska, but not like,
exactly.
Like minor key ska. You know?
Like when Sting dances
Quadrophenia.
I could see him dancing to this.
That's a moment we have like.
It's the most important moment of our friendship.
That too, yes. It also might be entirely an invention of our memories. Like it's one of those things I'm like, if we rewatch it, we might find out. It's like,
it's Mandela effect. Sting's not in that movie.
Guys, what are you talking about? And which could be possible. We had just survived a hurricane, you know.
Like literally like 2 hours earlier.
Yeah. It was the day after Sandy. Sandy, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Fesh, do you ever miss New York?
Let's not talk about it.
I've been in a melancholy. Anyway,
truly what I think it is we miss being young. We miss having a certain save file where we could start, and we had a lot more roads ahead of us to choose from, and I'm not, whatever. Things are fine. First Blood seems to be about that guy John Rambo from the movies.
Yes. Fun song, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a little more of a country-ish groove to it, you know? And, yeah, songs about John Rambo never went to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Let me pull up the lyrics here, you know. Yeah. Let's give a shout out to azlyrics.com from A to Z.
I'm a genius guy. I go to the genius because it also gives user submitted context, which is, you know, so fun. It's not just that it's level of accuracy, but it's also its level of why do you think I didn't know that? It's not context. That's in the lyric. Why do you think you need to explain to me?
Oh yeah, I love that. Love that.
We love users.
Let's see. We love users. Users, you go. You got it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. John Rambo, First Blood, fun song.
Mm-hmm. Next up, okay. You didn't fall.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can see. What do we got here? Yeah, mail ordered body armor, mapped to the blue bucket mine. Guy who had a place down by the lakeside, chaining water to wine. Devastating schematics, rough drafts of the 23rd Psalm. Paul Kersey never left his apartment. John Rambo never went to Vietnam.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. All right,
we can move on.
Yeah. Make you suffer.
This is my number one, baby.
Hey.
I love this shit. It's, you know, I maybe have some deep-seated issues that I should fucking address. but it, you know, I say I like fictional violence. Real life violence, I could like nothing less. Except That's for right. in certain contexts, I love watching a video of some idiot in a gas station being racist and then getting fucking slammed for it. That's that's a borderline fetish for me. so there are contexts, but it's not. I'm not trying to watch anything like, you know.
On that, I like a good, or I used to like, I should say, I don't watch them actively, a good high school fight on YouTube.
Yes, but I need content. I need to know who's the heel and who's the face.
Yeah,
it's not just the pure acts of violence that I appreciate. It's the mini narratives that come with
it. Yeah, and to be fair, I don't like a bully beating up a kid in high school. No. I like two equally sized children slapping the air. Neither really connecting.
Sure.
People cheering them on.
Well, okay. You sent me a nice little World Star video many moons ago that was the kid in a McDonald's yelling at the guy in front of him. He's just like, you big black guy. He just turns around and just yeets him over the counter into the ice cream machine. I mean, that's great.
Because, it's like. It's filmed from the back of the guy who gets thrown.
Yeah.
And you see the person behind the counter, you know, and you see like this like shaking, angry little white kid.
Chihuahua
like,
of a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like he pauses and says like, yeah, you big black guy. And then just whoop, the guy behind the counter picks him up.
It's literally like he cups his armpit and like puts his hand on the nape of his neck and just whoop. It rules. that's what it is. I guess what it really comes down to is I just love watching the fuck around, find out, just immediate instant karma, whatever term you need to put on it for your subreddit. But just of just like the narrative of, again, the Nazi who heils and then a black guy gets in his face and then he tries to be like high road the guy by like putting his hands out to be like, calm down, no. And then just immediately gets clocked and knocked out. And just that turn of arrogance to, I am untouchable, to being touched. That turnaround is so important to me. I think I just tweeted something like this morning. Of just when, it doesn't have to be literal violence, but just when somebody tries to really, they try to take a dunk on something, and then everybody in the quote retweets is like, hey, you're wrong. You are proving that you are an idiot. are by attempting this dunk, you've shown your ignorance. You're stupid. Yeah. I just the immediate.
I believe Will Hines described it as get a load of this asshole TikToks, you know, as a genre. And
but it's not just like, oh, some guy said something stupid. It's like you were actively trying to show that you were smart and that this thing you're pointing out is dumb. Mm-hmm. But by doing that, you have shown that you didn't understand the thing, and are, in fact, very dumb. That's my favorite thing in the world. The example I'll give is this past Wednesday, CM Punk got his lily ass kicked by John Moxley, and it ruled.
Yes.
And his left foot is injured. he goes and does a roundhouse kick, kicks him with the right foot, and then buckles and, you know, sells his left foot. And a bunch of dummies are like, see that? He kicked with his right, but he's selling his left. And everybody's like, yeah, the left foot's the one that's injured. He just put all of his weight on his left foot. So again, you're trying to say they're dumb for doing this thing wrong, and you're just showing you don't know how to watch a thing that's, you know. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Whether it's somebody being racist and getting hit in the face with a twisted T, or somebody making fun of wrestling to show that they don't know anything as well, that's what I mean by fake violence. Fake violence is also just horror movies and wrestling, but or comic books. But anyway, the make you suffer aspect I'm talking about, my deep-seated anger, is I'm not sitting here saying I want to do any of this. But do I admit that it is fun to watch pieces of shit get hurt and suffer? Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Am I going to be the one to do it? Probably not. But yeah. And again, it also hits that sweet spot that I think this whole album kind of is in, is about violence and scumbummery, but presented in such a light, pleasant manner. And that's I love it. I love it.
And, you know, who couldn't use that? It's a catharsis album, an energy, a ramp up, a screaming, a you know.
But again, without the metal aesthetics, it's still kind of easy listening.
Yes.
Which, I think kicked off in his goths era, where it's an album about goths, but it doesn't sound like goths would like it.
No. Yes. And then we come to Guys on Every Corner, which is a song I didn't like at first.
Sure.
But then I came back and said, is this a fun song? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Now I like it.
Well, JCT, one thing, you got to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who has guys on every corner. And then you're if you have guys on every corner, it's a hell of a song.
Which does sync up. I'm watching Better Call Saul now. I'm up to season 4. Now, there's some people in that show that have guys on every corner, let me tell you. And it seems nice.
And again, it's not quite funky.
Right, but
it has some sort of like black exploitation influence, like intro song, like Shaft, Superfly, but with not quite.
Yeah.
It's cool.
You just imagine those guys in every corner, they're the ones playing the saxophone.
They're just laying it down. Yeah.
And that'd be fun to just walk around and see a guy just wailing on this honking on Bobo.
Yeah. Oh my God. We love
it. This album honks on Bobo.
Honestly, it honks a little bit on Bobo. Yeah. Hostages comes up next.
This is my other top two song.
My number two. Yeah.
Yeah. 7 minutes. Just like a great jam, great vibe to it, you know?
Yeah.
And there is just something, just the chorus line. Just so cool. It's like, we might run out of bullets. We're never going to run out of hostages.
So I think this whole album, maybe it's because I just watched Jackie Brown a few weeks ago, but again, I talked about the black exploitation. There's something 70s and funky, but not quite exploitation-y about this. I think it does. It feels sort of, because of the inherent whiteness that comes with a lot of it too, very Quentin Tarantino-y, and specifically him saying, because it's fun, Jan, about blood and violence, the whole diatribe I just went on a few minutes ago. And yeah, we may run out of bullets, we'll never run out of hostages. Like that, it just, I don't know. There's something about this, and then we get into Need More Bandages. It is just because it's fun. This album is here because these things are fun, even though in real life they're not fun.
That's right. I recently watched Heat for the first time, and fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Long movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this song has Heat vibes to it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've never seen, but I'll check it out. It's on my list. It's been on my list.
Yeah. Hey.
It's on my list.
It's on Netflix, I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say.
What you say?
What you say?
Because you did. Because it is. Man, 2007, huh?
2007.
That's a new trend. You've seen this trend? You heard about this? Re-editing the last moments of movies to make it as if they were from 2007, which just means putting like a Linkin Park song over them. Kind of fun.
Kind of fun. This is what you TikTokers think is fun now?
I feel like it's people who are a little older than TikTokers. You know, people who would be cognizant of what it was like to watch movies in 2007 today. All right. Any more bandages we kind of talked about? We're getting close on time.
That's sort of the song where I get bored a little. All right. Speed it up, album. It's a little redundant to me.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing about Mountain Goats. Love them. We both obviously love them.
Yes.
But the criticism I could totally understand from some people is, yeah, even if the instrumentation and quality is different, each song kind of has the same tenor and rhythm. And I could definitely hear that a lot on Need More Bandages.
Yes.
Incandescent Ruins, I don't really know off the top of my head yet either.
That one's good. I like it. It's a little more of, again, it's more acoustic guitar and it slows it down a bit. And I like this one. It's kind of like, it's got a good vibe to it. I don't really know what it's about. I haven't listened to the lyrics too deeply, but...
Yeah. Sorry, my phone's going...
No worries.
This rocks. I love Incandescent Ruins. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think right as I get... I start to lose me with Need More Bandages. Yeah. This one's like, all right. It's kind of every time I've listened to it, I'm like, maybe I'm ready to check something else out around Need More Bandages. Then I get to this one and go, this is good. There's like two more left. All right, I'm going to finish it out, you know.
So, Bleed Out... The title track, the closing track, I heard for the first time after getting off an overnight shift and having to take the Skyliner over to Disney's Hollywood Studios to pick up my car keys from my wife's locker. And I tell you what, it really fits the vibe of being a guy who looks like me, unbelievably tired, walking through a theme park for practical means to get fucking home. And I'm ready to, like, I'm happy. Let me just say this. I've alluded to a lot of things. Still brainwashed, still love working for the mouse. Everything's great on that side of things. It's the other things that have been hard. But again, I know what I look like to people, and when I'm out of costume, I don't necessarily give off the vibe of somebody who's happy to be at Hollywood Studios at 8:35 a.m., especially when I'm as tired as I was, and again, just having music on that is about dying. very cool, calm little wrap up song. It's almost the 2000s Weird Al structure of the last song's gonna be real long and silly, and it's got Albuquerque Genius in France vibes for what this album is funny. Intentionally very repetitive and just talking about bleeding out.
Yeah. Just what a way to end an action movie album, you know?
Like, yeah.
Bleeding out and dying, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the finale, you know?
I'm gonna bleed out. Cool album. All right, shall we get to our final segment?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to do it?
Well, now, let's see. Folks, we said every year we'd update our top 10 Mountain Goat. That one, right, Fesh?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do our top 10, our new yearly top 10 rankings of At Mountain Goat songs, you know?
Do you want to just go one goes through and then the other one goes through, or should we trade off? Because it's not draft style. We could have same songs.
Correct, yeah. Let's see. I'm cool either way.
That could be fun.
I can start off with my... Ooh, yeah. One day we'll do it.
Yeah.
Perhaps next year we'll do the draft.
Okay, sounds good.
Kick
it off.
All right.
Go from coming 10 to 1, yeah.
Sounds good, yeah.
And do a Casey Kasem impression.
Number 10, coming in, number 10. I got Rain in Soho off the album Goths.
Hell yeah.
No one, it's a fun,
hell of an
spooky
opening
song. Yeah. Fun song. One time I got the Goths vinyl. Mm-hmm. I had the speed setting wrong on my player.
Whoa.
So it was extra slow and creepy, and that was fun. One knows.
Now, have you heard the demo of that? He released the demo pretty recently.
Oh, I don't think I have.
Or not recently at all. I'm sorry. Soon after Goths came out. and it's a completely different energy. It's way less encompassing. It's way more lo-fi, and it's just like him at a piano and with some drums. It's good, but a different energy.
Nice.
Number nine.
All right. Number nine. I got off the album The Sunset Tree, Love, Love, Love. I'm vibing on this year.
A Mount Rushmore track from Alaska.
Yes. And again, that's a wonderful album, and so I got to represent it. I try to be, you know, you get to this point when you do these, you're like, all right, I want to be cool and different this year, so you don't want to be a darn broken
basic
record,
bit, yes.
You know? So, but yeah.
And you'll definitely find that's a part of my list is me very much not doing that, but that's also a mix. It's that plus, like I said, tough memories that I don't really want to.
Sure,
I don't really listen to these songs anymore because of that. But again, Mount Rushmore tracks, obviously iconic tracks. Shout outs to anybody who likes Moral Oral out there. This is one of the like three or four Mountain Goat songs that made it onto that show that was also around the same time I got into the band, so that helped.
Yes, wonderful. All right, coming in at number eight.
Number eight.
All hail West Texas. Ooh, yeah. I got Color in Your Cheeks.
Oh yeah,
a good one. Just a song.
Oh,
that really
it was just outside my
eyes.
Ten. Just outside of my ten. I love that song so much.
It's a great one. I just I love it. Come in at number seven. Here's a classic. Going to Georgia, an
Woo!
Early lo-fi, one of their top ones.
And an
iconic. Yeah. An iconic one. At some point down the line, we'll have to rank the going twos.
Oh my gosh, there's so many fucking going twos.
And I don't know many of them. I don't know the early Mountain Goats so well, you know.
I got one on my list. But yeah, we'll get to that.
Coming up next, also in an early era, Cubs in Five.
Hell of a song. And your Chicago roots are showing there, JC.
Hey, that's right. I'm an ancestral Chicago guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually in Guys in Every Corner. One of the types of guys is Chicago guys.
Yep, yep. You know what?
Which
I
is
really
about
like
the
in
Annoyance
Every
Theater. What were you saying?
I just really like that song. I, that might be my number three on Bleed Out. It's I don't know.
Coming in at, I guess, 10, 9, 8,
6, 5.
Six, number six, yeah.
Number six.
From Tallahassee, it's Alpha Rat's Nest. Just a fun little bass guitar line and a good little wrap-up of a wonderful album.
Great.
An album I wasn't into until later, but now one of their best. Yeah, I mean, a classic album, and I love that tune. Number four. No. Yes,
five.
Number four.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think, yeah. Because they have 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes, number four, I got Passaic 1975. Speaking of the 70s.
Yeah, great, great, great.
Just loved that album.
That album's missing from my list, but I love that album.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good one. And all right, number three, Picture of My Dress. Just a pretty little number.
Woo, 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 woo. I love that song.
Yeah. Which I recently learned something. The lyrics.
Yes.
I get extra mayonnaise. I thought a friend of a friend tweeted, I feel like an idiot. I thought the lyric was, I get extra mayonnaise, it's the best.
No,
but
it's a
mess. Turns out it's a mess.
It's a mess.
And I felt like an idiot too. It's like, I thought it was, it's the best as well.
Oh.
And I didn't like that lyric. I like it's a mess way better.
Yes. Yeah. Great song.
And so now love, there's nothing stopping my love for that song now.
It's number so good.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Oh, interesting. All my top three are from the year 2020.
Mm.
Number two from Songs for Pierre Chevrin, I got Owl on Raid.
Which one's that again? Give
me
a little.
Me and my crew.
Yeah.
We will deal with you. Me and my pagan crew. And then number one, Last Gasp at Kalama from that same album.
Great song.
One more summer and all.
That's
of
constantly
this
in my
gone.
Head. I love that
one
song.
One summer and all.
I believe
of
that
this
was on my
gone.
List last time we checked in. Didn't make it this time, but I love it. And that's the thing. The Mountain Goats, man. This is fucking hard. This is fucking hard. And I feel like I kind of rushed this list. It's probably not the best representation of it, but this is this is where I'm at. So we're going to start with number 10. As I alluded to earlier, it's off of Darkened Year. It is To the Headless Horseman. I'm noticing on this list, it's a lot of the quieter, sadder, high voice singing songs here. That's, but it's just a secret, or a stranger's just a friend. You haven't told your secrets yet. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What can I say? I'm a Headless Horseman, Mark. I love me some Headless Horsemen. So that's tangentially related, I'm there. Moving on to number 9, Amy, a.k.a. Spent Gladiator 1. Song about Amy Winehouse.
It's one, right? Not two? You're not is on two. Your list?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, just making sure. Yeah, both are
two's
great,
good.
But yes.
Two's good. But one is alive. Just, holy moly. Again, it's one of the songs with sans context, you're still like, this is great. And then when you learn what inspired it, you're like, oh, this is good. All right, number, number eight. Off of Sweden from 1995, the Lo-Fi Days, Going to Queens. He asked me if I missed New York City on this podcast. But yeah, I think it's the only track on here that features Rachel from the early days. But they sing it at the same time, pretty much the whole song. It rules. It's about going to Queens, which, hey, we used to do that all the time. I used to go to Queens all the time. Rule.
There you go. Yes. Queens, it's one of the boroughs.
Let's go through them. Queens.
Brooklyn.
Manhattan. Staten Island. Staten Island.
Not Yonkers? Yonkers
is in the fifth one. The Bronx!
That's right.
And if you put them together, makes a fist.
How many times do you go to the Bronx, Fesh? Did you ever?
Definitely. But I would say about 12.
12? Wow, okay. Yeah,
about 12. I think I only Merritt lived like up three. There. And so,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I would go for some UCBW stuff and went to the zoo a handful of times.
Okay. Does Washington Heights or Jack count as the Bronx?
I don't think but I don't know.
No, okay. All right.
I don't know. I truly don't know.
That would add a couple to me, but all right.
All right. Off of Full Force Galesburg. Again, Lo-Fi Days. Maze Stock Drinking Blood. Okay. First of all, drinking blood. And I know it's talking about a piece of corn doing that, but the phrase drinking blood, come on, that rules. Just the good vibes and just the lyric, this is an empty country and I am its king. I should not be allowed to touch anything. Yeah. All right, moving right along to number 5, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, nope, 6. Deuteronomy 2:10. Which is about animals going extinct. And holy goly, it is a killer. Now, we got to get the energy up. I think this has been my list every time we've done this. Or it was just on my playlist for Obama. But let's throw on some dance music, for Christ's sake. Hey, I know dark subject matter still, but energy-wise, woo!
A wonderful song.
With the volume knobs for. So that's number 5. Number 4, Pictures on My Dress. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
So fucking good. I Christmas 2020, walked to the store to get some stuff for, I guess it's Christmas Eve, to prepare for our dinner and breakfast for Christmas. And I was just I just had it on repeat the whole time I was walking to the store and coming back. Ooh, and it felt like Christmas to me. It felt like the type of Christmas that is spent not in Christmas songs, you know, like being in a Burger King on Christmas is a very specific energy does not get referenced a lot and is very real to me in my life. or like my car broke down on Christmas one time and I needed to get a jump in the rain. And that's the type of Christmas picture my dress reminds me. So that's number 4. Number 3, Shelved.
From Goths. Yeah.
Yes, we talk about the rough year it's been and the feeling of did we fuck up and should we give up? And that's what Shelved is about from a musician's perspective, but you know, we're all artists. Number 2, Getting Into Knives off of Getting Into Knives. Fuck. I love this song much. It's John Wick the song. it's great. And then number one, I don't know if I have the emotional fortitude to get into all of the reasoning and import behind this. And it might be too personal, but what's the name of this album? The Coroner's Gambit?
It's an early one. Yeah,
yeah, very early. It is about Passover, the Jewish holiday. But just...
What's the song name? Is it
Elijah?
The Coroner's... Elijah.
Sorry, did I not say that? Sorry. Elijah. And holy moly. You know, I mean, I just hit my 2-year anniversary being married to my beautiful, lovely wife, Zenny. And just the talk of the future and plans. And this is a band that's been with me since, you know, I've been a teenager, and it's been there for all these life changes. And just, you know, we're not there yet, but the prospect of the line, feel the fullness of time in the empty tomb, feel the future kicking in your womb. And it's just the way he fucking sings that line is just so powerful and sad but sweet and scary. And it just really encompasses what it means, like, feels like to...
Aww. Fesh is crying on the pod. Yes.
Want for more than yourself, you know? So,
It's beautiful, folks.
It's a first.
Hey, we got Fesh to cry.
But it's so simple because the big things really are, you know?
It's true, yeah.
And, So that's my number one right now. And it just, as you can tell, just talking about it gets me, let alone listening to it. It's.
Yes. Aw.
Yeah. Anyway. So there you go.
2022. Our list.
There's our list.
Top 10 Mountain Goats.
Yeah. Great episode. Folks, as much as we'd like to sit here and say, we're back, we've also learned to really not make as many promises anymore.
That's true. Yes.
But I will say, I'd like to be back.
Yes.
We have vague plans to be back. We did put together a full March Madness tournament, and that could maybe pay off at some point.
We'll cover those two winners, or one winner.
One winner, yeah. At some point. But I do have to start going. But this has been very nice.
Yeah. Oh, right. You got to pick up Zenny at work,
Yep.
That's right.
I got to go to work myself.
Oh, really quickly, our all-out card predictions. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
If it happens.
It's going to happen. I think, truly, conspiracy theory brain, but like ever since any of the MJF stuff got any whiff of interest back in June or May even, that's what they're doing. They're just like, fuck it. If this is the new kayfabe, this is how we do it, let's just fucking go. That's how we're telling stories now.
Yes.
So, all of the controversy. Because it is. It's like, all right, so Kingston and Sammy were feuding, and everything that happened is kind of in the vein of their character. Thunder Rosa, this has been the controversy around Thunder Rosa for the last 2 years. It's like the sandbagging and the you know, all that stuff. The CM Punk thing, that's been happening since he got here. Like, I don't know. It all... Who knows? But should be a hell of a show. The matches are already on there. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like, if the Trios Finals has to be the main event because the world titles, there's a bunch of dickery going around with it, that's fine.
Yeah.
I would love to see Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks take on either Dark Order or Best Friends or whoever.
Heck, even Bryan Danielson and Jericho is probably going to be a darn fun time.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's a hell of a card, but I simply don't have the time to run it down right now. I wish I did, but yeah.
All right. Well, folks, we love you.
We love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.